The Seeking Saviour. And so I draw this volume to a close. While I have been trying to show that the Bible does not warrant the concept of the seeking sinner, nevertheless, I don't want to end on this negative note. For a few moments, let me remind you of what the Bible does say. It tells us in the clearest possible language that the Lord Jesus Christ is the seeking Saviour. I pause to stress this, because it is the point. As with any deviation from Scripture, the casualty of this notion of the seeking sinner is Christ. By talking of the seeking sinner, we lose sight of the seeking Saviour. And this is tragic in the extreme. For Christ is the Saviour who seeks sinners to save them. After all, as he told us explicitly, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And that was the punchline in the account of his dealing with Zacchaeus, which in itself came not so very long after Christ had been attacked by the teachers of the law for welcoming sinners and eating with them. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. It was that jibe which led to Christ's extended teaching in Luke 15. I said I would return to Luke 15. I do so now. Let us remind ourselves of the background. The Pharisees were sneering at Jesus' willingness to associate with the worst of sinners. Indeed, that he would welcome them and eat with them. Unforgivable sins in the eyes of his critics. So Jesus told three parables, or rather one parable in three aspects. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Nevertheless, Jesus' main point does not lie in the lostness of the sheep, the coin, or the son, but in his willingness, and more, to welcome sinners to himself. Even more important in the passage is the final part of the parable. The climax, the punchline once again, the refusal of the elder brother to take any part in the welcome for his returning brother. The Pharisees got Jesus' point in one. While he, Jesus, welcomed sinners, they would not. The upshot? It's all about the welcome that sinners will always receive if they return to God through Christ. Coming to Christ for salvation is never in Scripture said to be a long, drawn-out process requiring much persistence. The seeking Saviour is the theme running throughout the parable. And don't forget, Jesus included the teachers of the law themselves in his seeking. God shows that he seeks sinners. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear, and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Isaiah 55. 1-7. Don't forget that this passage comes not so far after, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." Isaiah 45:22. Once again, a seeking God. As God declares, "All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people." Isaiah 65:2, Romans 10:21. God sent his Son to do the seeking for the Godhead. Above all, of course, Christ came to die to save sinners. But he certainly came to seek them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. And how Christ sought sinners. Listen to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Matthew 23:37. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 19:10. The fact is, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. But the seeking did not stop when Christ ascended to glory. Oh, no. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:19-6:2. Why, as he ascended, did Christ command his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Again, why did Jesus declare the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem? You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And why did he tell his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? We know the answer. God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Of course, if men refuse to repent and believe, they will perish. They must perish. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. John 3:17-18. Unless you repent, you will all perish. Luke 13:3-5. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 3:36. But there's no need to perish. Those who perish do so because they refuse God's offer of mercy in Christ, because they brush aside his outstretched arms and hands. For God is a seeking God, seeking to save sinners. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13. So call now.